So let's just start right into today's episode. We invited a really inspiring team of female founders from our network. Their name is Yezango. And today, Sophia and Larissa are here with me in the podcast studio.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strascheck Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating, and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things, and yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. We start right off with some quiz questions. The facts are from the Female Founders Monitor, a study by Google Startup. Okay, let's go. How high do you think is the percentage of female founders in Germany? 16%, 22%, or 41%?
It's 16.
Yeah, I also think it's 16. Yeah.
You're right. Absolutely right. Next question. How high is the percentage of women who found their business to create a positive societal impact? 10%, 35%, or 54%?
I would say 54.
Yeah, I would think so too.
You're absolutely right, girls.
Yay!
Next question. What is the average age of founders in Germany? 25, 30, or 35?
I think it's 30. Maybe?
I would say 35.
35. And that's actually true both for men and women.
Okay.
Fourth question. How high is the percentage of female founder teams with more than three team members? 6%, 14%, or 27%?
6%?
I think so too.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, interesting.
And the fifth question is, which of the following industries has the highest proportion of female founders? Information and communication technology, medicine and healthcare, consumer goods, textile, nutrition and food, or education or human resources?
I think it's consumer goods.
I would say or textile. Okay, so
it's actually medicine and healthcare.
Wow.
Okay, so first of all, congratulations to the founders of Yezango. Even though you might have never thought about it that way, but yes, you are still quite a rare species in Germany. An all-female startup team of three founders in the field of consumer goods and e-commerce. Yes. And when you look at your website, I mean, there's a lot of female power that swaps over, and it's absolutely stunning, I would say. So hello again, Sophia and Larissa from Yezango. Welcome to our first episode of this podcast.
Thanks
hello.
For inviting us.
Yeah, it's so great to be here.
So one of my first questions would be, I think in one of the videos I just saw a poster that you had, and there was like a nice statement on it, like, let's create a fair future. So I think what I would be interested in is that, first of all, tell us a bit what you're doing with your startup Yezango, and then also what does this statement mean exactly for you?
With Yezango, we want to build a fair fashion hub in Europe. So we want to push the topic of fair fashion and bring consumers who are willing to buy fair fashion and the fair fashion brands together on our platform. And our big vision is that we are involved in pretty much every single piece of fair fashion clothing in Europe one day. And the statement, let's create a fair future, is our mission, because as many people know, the clothing industry suffers under a lot of very bad working condition or production conditions. So we want to make fair fashion a standard so that everyone who is involved in producing clothing can live from it and doesn't have to work under very dangerous conditions and doesn't have to fear for their life or, you know, works a lot of hours every day but can't pay for their whole family. So this is what drives us, and this is why we created this statement to create the fair future.
And is there like a specific reason for why you thought like the fashion industry could be a good industry to make an impact for?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the fashion industry is the biggest consumer industry that's out there, and it's also the second largest polluter in the world. So I think it's a very good starting point and one with a big impact. So that's why we thought, yeah, let's start there.
And do you have any like personal connection with fashion, or like, you mean like, I mean, starting a business, I would say is like you don't do anything else than like you're daily involved in like what you're doing and have a passion for. Mm-hmm. So how did that evolve?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we are both very like, I wouldn't say fashionistas, but very involved with fashion. So
yeah, very interested and passionate about the topic. And yeah.
So it's great to be surrounded by it every day. So that's also a plus. And yeah, both points together bring this good combination for Yesango.
Yeah, and maybe second question, like, I mean, it's probably very interesting to understand for future potential entrepreneurs. What brought you to the decision of like starting your own business and like kind of deciding against like a well-paid, maybe a secure job or whatever? Like, how did that happen? When did you first had this idea in mind of like starting your own business? Like, just tell us a bit about, you know, the insights of becoming an entrepreneur.
For Sophia and me, it was very similar. So we were both always wanted to, to start our own business. For Katja, especially our third co-founder, she was totally not into it. So she was really driven by the need she had herself, that she wanted to buy fair fashion and didn't have the right access for it. But for Sophia and me, I think we developed early on the desire to be our own boss and have our own business. So, yeah. Or can you, Sophia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you say about
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But how did that, you know, like, how did this become real option for you? Like,
my parents are both self-employed, and so I knew how it was to have, to run their own business, and maybe from them, I don't know, but I don't know.
For me, it's actually the same. My parents are also both self-employed, and I love to see the freedom they have. Also, they are, of course, work a lot, but they're very like passionate about it and they love what they do. And I always thought that one day I want to have the same. I don't want to be in a job where I just go there every day and think about hopefully the day will gone by very soon. So that's the kind of energy that attracted me early on. And I have to say, until now, it was one of the best decisions, because you wake up every day and you feel very happy to go to work and you feel passionate about it. And I love what I do. And it's like such a great feeling. So
it's about freedom.
Yeah.
Passion.
Yeah.
Making an impact.
Yeah.
Probably with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And really building something yourself from nothing. And, you know, every day we get so much accomplished. And when we look back, 2 months ago, it was totally different. And
2 days ago.
Two days ago was totally different. So, yeah, it's Yeah, it's so interesting. And yeah, to really know that you built this and that you can decide where the road should take the company. And that's, yeah.
So you learn so much every day. You're totally engaged in every topic and you have to deal with things you wouldn't deal with in any other position or job. So it's actually every day. So last day I was looking at paid media ads and I was never involved with marketing before. The day before I looked at our revenue numbers and calculated calculated our average order values and KPIs like that. And it's like you're every day you're like, yeah, learning something new and have to, yeah, get messy and yeah.
Yeah, I think like what you just said is that like being an entrepreneur is also like ultimately a very creative process, mm-hmm. very pragmatic, hands-on. Like yeah. It's not like I mean you have problems or challenges every day, yeah. and then it's kind of upon you to find solutions for that. And I mean one of the skills that usually is connected to being an entrepreneur is also about the having like this courage, confidence, self-efficacy. Like in research, self-efficacy is like always a lot related to whether you become an entrepreneur or not. And I mean, this is the big question usually in education, like how can we increase the self-efficacy of our students, of our people attending our courses. Is there anything you can think of, like how did you become that way? You know, like in terms of like courage, or was it just that you had maybe like some small projects already early in your career where you felt like, oh, I achieved that, so I could go one step ahead? Or can you think of anything?
So I would say a big part is that I always had an environment that always gave me the feeling that I can achieve anything I want to. I think that's a big part. To really have the confidence you can do it if you want it. It's hard work, but you can do it.
Yeah, I think so too. So that you so many problems occur every day that you not only see the problems, but think in solutions. I mean, that sounds a bit, I don't know, cheap, but it's a very hard question. I don't know if I think back, maybe I saw it with my parents. I mean, they had to deal with a lot of stuff. They never knew what would come the next day with their businesses. Maybe this is something that when you see it with your parents, that you see, okay, they can deal with it. There's always a solution, you know. Yeah, problems come, but you can always find a way. Maybe it's that, but I can't remember any specific projects. I mean, I would have loved to have project like that in school, for example. I mean, I was always very interested in economics and businesses. I think when students can just try it in a safe environment in a school as a project, that would be a great factor because, once you started one business, there's so much that will be in the next business as well. You always have the same problems. You always have the same topics. You have to go to the tax office and do stuff. You have to do marketing. You have to do this. You have to find employees who are motivated. So I think the more students can just try it in a safe environment and they don't have to lose their own money, for example, maybe this will encourage them to do it later on with a real business because they see, okay, there is always a way to deal with problems and to move on and find a way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's also pretty great that you're a team of three. Like,
yeah.
Even so, most female founders in Germany start on their own, and like then they're just on their own with their own skills. But like you're in three.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings in the competence, the network, the skills from three different. And of course, we are all curious to hear, like, was it out of coincidence that you're like a all female team, or did it just happen? Or was it a strategic decision? Like, was it coincidence or strategic decision? Yeah. I mean, like, because it's quite rare.
It wasn't a strategic decision. I would say it wasn't really on coincidence as well. I mean, Katja first started with the business plan. Initially, it was her idea, and she was looking for a co-founder, and then she found me, and we both connected very fast because of the topic. We got along very well, so that's why we decided, okay, let's do it.
So you didn't know each other before?
No, we found each other over Founderio. It's a platform for founders or for people who are interested in founding their own company. It's a little bit like LinkedIn, but very small. And you can just type in the city you are in, and then you can see people who have a profile there who are interested in building a company as well. And Katja and I always wanted to find a third person, but we were definitely open to find a man as well. We were totally open. It was more like the profile we had in mind. Okay, we want someone who is good in finance, or who might have a technical background, developing websites and so on. And we had a lot of meetings. We met a lot of people, men and women. And then we found a woman. And then it was like, okay, then great, let's do it as the three women. Yeah.
And how did you find Larissa? Like, what was the... Was it also through Founderio?
It was also the same platform.
Yeah, Founderio was quite funny because it was during... Corona in March. So the first month we worked together, we never saw each other before. Yeah. So in May, the first meeting, it was quite exciting to finally see each other in person. And it was also cool to see that even without that, we worked very closely together from minute one. So I guess this was also a good starting point.
And what motivated you to like be on Founderio, or like?
Like I said, I always had the idea of founding my own business. The thing was that I never really had a good idea where I was like, okay, let's do it. So one day I thought about, okay, but there must be other people that have good ideas. So I went to the platform and signed up there. And actually that was in January, and I didn't even have like a picture or anything else about my CV. That was enough, obviously, to find me. I had like my interests were fashion, so maybe that was the connecting point.
And I think e-commerce as well.
And e-commerce, that's true.
The platform is very small, so I texted literally everyone who was on that platform who was in Munich, and we talked before to people who aren't in Munich, but then we were like, no, okay, we have to be in the same city. It's very important to be in the same space. And then I texted everyone, and Larissa texted back.
Luckily,
and then,
I was in that.
That's very interesting. But it's hard to find co-founders. So I used LinkedIn as well and Xing, and posted something on those platforms as well. But it was very hard to get applications for this position.
Yeah, but I think that's a quite good point for like future or potential entrepreneurs, that it doesn't always matter just of having your own idea, but that there's like lots of people out there who already started something and might look for someone else. And maybe, do you have any other like hints, recommendations, places where potential female founders could could look or go to, anything you want to pass on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of cool startup events, and on most events, people pitch in the beginning, and a lot of those pitch end with, we're currently looking for a co-founder. And a lot of the time when it comes to male teams, they most of the time look for someone who does marketing or sales. And yeah, just go to events or use a platform like Founderio, or there are Facebook groups as well where you can connect with people who have ideas or who don't have ideas but also want to start something.
We also attended, I think last month, a very cool event. It was from Marina, and it called M Stories, and it's only for women, and it's like 2 times a year,
mm-hmm.
I think. And it was really cool to see, because there were, like, I would say 50 to 60 women,
mm-hmm.
and they have like panel discussions, for example, with the founder of Langhaar-Mädchen, or last year there was Delia Fischer from West Wing, or Delia Lachance, her new name. And it was really cool to see how all these women really connected each other. And I think also event types like this are very cool, where really women who are already doing something or have like the idea of doing something by their own can connect and can also tell their ideas and get feedback and so on. So I think also, these events are quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there is quite a lot going on mm-hmm. in Munich, and I don't think it's it's maybe just getting to know about the stuff that's happening, but there's definitely a lot of meetups, mm-hmm. Groups, events, especially targeted also for potential female entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's a quite good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe right now, I think I read that San Francisco is still like the best place for female founders to start their business, and Munich is like very, very low at the bottom.
Okay. And why is San Francisco so good for
I think it's like a report they brought out, and they calculated all sorts of activities. And I think it depends on like investors, like how much funding you can get, how many events. Like it's a whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it's like a ecosystem study.
Yeah.
And they measured all different factors, and from this ranking, San Francisco was on one of the highest places for female founders.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I also think that when we talk about female founders, we should always talk about female investors or business angels, because also female business angels tend to invest more than women and tend to invest in social impactful startups. And I think the number is even smaller, if the percentage, then how many female founders we have in Germany. So it's like 10%, I think, or something like that, female business angels in Germany. And I also think that, both numbers correlate. So I think, we should also look at this side, and not only on the female founder side, but also look at the investor side. Because at the end, the investor is like the vehicle to success most of the times.
I think mm-hmm. Yesango is still looking for an investor if I'm not wrong.
We are currently started our first funding round and are looking for an investor, and it's not that easy during Corona, but we are in a good mood, so mm-hmm.
So if anyone has a lot of money and wants to invest in a really good startup, Yesango is the right place to get in touch with. So maybe, I think we're already running out of time, but I have one final question, which is more related to maybe our products, as we are here in Munich. And like, I mean, there's lots of local brands and you're sourcing them. So maybe just tell us, like, if you want like one or two brands from Munich and how you picked them, and just a bit about the process, like how local brands get featured on your platform, on your store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what's your favorite one?
Yeah, we sell a few brands from Munich, and all of them are pretty great, I would say. And yeah, I mean, we're constantly looking, sourcing for new brands and products, and we go to events or just look through Instagram or just Google for cool new brands. And yeah, we go in a very deep discussion with every brand to choose if they fit with their whole production process, if it's fair and sustainable and so on. And yeah, to name two brands from Munich, I would definitely name another brand.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
as well.
It's a very nice brand from Munich. It's female founded. It's two women who founded it, I think, 3 years ago. And they do very cool sweaters and t-shirts and pullovers. And they produce in Portugal. And they have an eye for cool designs, I would say. It's a very good running brand, and especially in our store. Yeah, it's just a great story. The two are very passionate, and they attend Green Style every year. It's a great event here in Munich for fair and sustainable clothing. And yeah. They're very nice. They support us very, very nicely. That's also very great. As the second one, I would maybe say Jute Laune. It's a brand also here from Munich, and she produces in Spain. It's shoes, sneakers. She also has a little store here in Munich in Schwabing. And yeah, we work together very closely, and yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of things happening. I mean, the small producers on the one hand, and I mean, it's great that a platform like yours kind of brings them all and features the stories of those little brands that one might otherwise overlook. Yeah, I think from my side, we're kind of at the end of our little talk on founding. Maybe for the closing, you've been in your early stage. You were also coached by the SCE, and that's actually where we once met, just randomly in the hallway when Morten, who was your first coach from the startup center, I think we just ran into each other.
Yeah.
And this is why we're here today. And maybe can you tell us, like, how did you meet SCE, and when did you decide, or how did you become part of their coaching program?
Yeah. So we just went to an event from SCE last summer. It was, I think, the summer party of the incubator. And at that time, we were just on startup events every week, like two or three events, just to connect with the scene, just with people of the startup scene. And yeah, we talked to one of the coaches there, Saskia, and she just showed us around and the showed us the incubator, and we were very impressed to get a free office, and also of course the whole package with the coaching, the network, and so on. So we thought, yes, it's a good idea to just send an application. And it was definitely a great step for us, because we learned a lot. It was great to connect with all of the other startups in the incubator. And yeah, we just met a lot of interesting people. And we really accomplished a lot during those months because of the office. I mean, it was a great place to work. Yeah.
Yeah, I think universities, it's really cool that nowadays they have all these very easily accessible programs, especially in the early stages.
Yeah.
So if you have an idea, you can just go there and like talk to some people who have been coaching so many other startups. So it's not as sometimes one would think so different, or it's a quite set up process, like a structured process. And I think, everyone who can just take advantage of all these free resources that are just out there.
I also think that Munich is a great place for it because you have so many options, because you have like this three big universities. And I think that's very great in Munich.
And it's very cool that the Hochschule or SCE opened the program for people who aren't part of the university or the Hochschule. Because Katja and I, we didn't, at that time when we applied, we weren't students or anything. We were just starting our company, and it was very nice that they opened this whole program.
Perfect. Any final last words? Or otherwise, I think I would thank you a lot for being here and for having this first talk. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And we will definitely follow you on either Instagram or all the social media channels that are out there. And hopefully that you find an investor sooner or later and you can grow your business and make a good impact.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah. Thank you.